Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Tamara L. Thank you for tuning in to State of the Nationals that airs every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tonight's episode, we have with us returning Kawala de la Vega, voicing again from Khalifa Territory, who will discuss part two of the I Am Principle and the Curse of Nature. Now, in the past episode, the last visit that Mr. De La Vega had was episode 5, and he discussed the revealing of the number 19. And we talked about the revealing of the number 19 with understanding of the I Am principle. And as written in regards to the number 19, the number 1 represents the Alpha, and the number 9 represents the Omega, which means the beginning and the end. Now, from the siege of Jerusalem up to today's event, the war still continues, but some has gotten very comfortable with that. Now, we're at that defining moment, that fork in the road, reclaiming our beginning as depression comes to an end. Now, we're going to give some time for our host to come on the line, and that way we can go ahead and bring him in and get started with tonight's event of the I Am Principle and the Curse of Naaman.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm rushing again. Glad to be here.
Nope.
Islam to the listeners.
Yes, Islam, thank you again for accepting the invitation to speak to the Nationals. As I was saying a moment ago, you were here a couple of episodes back where this is a continuation of where you left off, so we can get into the unfolding. And, you know, we have a lot to talk about and add to that wisdom in tonight's episode of part two of the I Am Principle and the Curse of Naaman. Now, before we do that, I know we had our listeners before, and we have new listeners that's coming in. Now, let's start off by giving the listeners some background information about yourself.
Okay, my birth name is Kuleza Shaheed Vega. I'm born and raised in Oakland, California. Born in San Leandro, California, which is like about four blocks away from Oakland. Went to school here. I'm 45 years old, been here all my life. Went through elementary school at Grass Valley Elementary School. From there, I went to third grade. I spent 3 different schools in elementary. The main one was Hoover Elementary, and 8 years old, third grade, I was educated by Dr. Yusef Bey, the Bey family, that was married into the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's family, with grandmother Tanetta Muhammad's daughter, Medea. So I was raised as a Morris Muslim. My grandfather is Attorney Samuel Carter McMorris. He was the first attorney to win the case in the Supreme Court with 2 years of practice. So my grandfather polished my mind as a young child using poetry and memory lessons was my tools, my tools and my muscle. My grandfather told me that him growing up that their family didn't have a lot of money, but one thing they understood as a family was that education was the real power. And my grandfather was Mensa, 2% highest IQ in America. I'm blessed to have a mind that was further educated by Dr. Youssef Bey. At 8 years old, he put me on my square, gave me several keys that I used later that I was able to use when I became a Mason, Master Mason at Amos Lodge 5 in Oakland, California. From there, I was in and out of the Christian Church, Jehovah's Witness, Kingdom Hall. From there, I went to the Nation of Islam. Got my ex December 30th, 2005, my 72 Richmond. And the main part of it, well, one of the main parts of the Nation of Islam is memory lessons. And in order to get your ex, you have to work your memory. And so my memory was already trained for the lessons. And so when I went through the lessons, one thing that held true for me was our name, why we have an X, what the X mean, what it represents, and our name is as good as gold if our name has a proper vibrational tone. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that we shouldn't have nicknames. And so 3 weeks ago when we talked on the I Am Principles and the number 19, we touched on I Am being God, but also our name. Our name could be blessed or cursed, and I wanted to further go in on that with the just the spiritual side, the metaphysical side of, you know, when we read the Bible, there's always 3, 4, maybe more messages in there, but it's always like the first one is the baby, you know, the baby milk, I guess they would say. And so, and going through the Nation of Islam and being able to see that our name was important, after my journey through that school of thought, I entered into more science. And in more science, you know, a lot of brothers will say, well, we don't have names. A name denotes corporation. And we have noble titles or appellation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when we look up appellation says name, title. So it's you know, we go around a circle all day long about it, but at the end of the day, we have a name, we have a title, we have an appellation, and we're called something. And so we have to be mindful and aware and go back and look at the teachings of Elijah Muhammad when he said, let's not have nicknames. He gave us the lesson to look up the word in the dictionary, Nick, old Nick, and it says Nick is the devil. So if we have a nickname, metaphysically we have a devil's name. So if we're born with a righteous name and then we cut it in half because the streets want to give us a nickname, then we've done ourselves a disservice, being unjust to our own self. Go ahead.
It's written and recorded about the names being in harmony with numbers. And as you was just explaining, how we're given the name at birth, and that number resonate with a certain tone and frequency. But then when you change or you allow someone to change the frequency of that name, it could put that vibration in itself either in a more acidic vibration, which is not fluid person, because you are you're more answering to a lower vibration that you're being called upon as opposed to answering to a more fluid alkaline vibration in harmony with nature. So you mentioned about a name being a curse. It can be a curse. Now, explain further that. How can the name be a curse? And you know, with that.
Well, we've been taught that our so-called slave master gave us slave names. You know, we just need to know. We have to know that for sure what those names mean. Those might not be slave names. Those might be our family's name somewhere down the line. But we have to know. You know, it's important for us to know the history of the names or the history of the name that you were given on your birth certificate. Until you changed it, that was you. So it's you. You're going to have to fight them demons or whatever it is that's on you. Where, you know, people say, do I have a generational curse? You might have a cursed name. You know, in the metaphysics behind naming in the Bible, dealing with the numerology of when we had the conversation yesterday, it was May 27th. We can go to the scripture of 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 27. Well, we were back up to 26 and 27, and it speaks about being cursed, the curse of naming. It was a student of Elisha. The school of prophecy was taught by Elijah. Elijah's student was Elisha, and Elisha's student was Gehazi. And what it had, I'll back it up. What happened was Naaman was a commander in the army, and he was, I believe it was the Syrian army, and he was against the Israelites. And they won this certain battle. They won, and the commander, Naaman, he took his prize with him. He took one of the Israelite women with him as a slave. And when he took her, she noticed that he had leprosy. But she already knew that Elijah and Elisha was curing leprosy. So even though she was a slave or, you know, been captured, she told the commander, Naaman, she said, well, you know, you should go see the prophet. You should go see Elisha and get that taken care of. And so he contacted him. Went to see him. He brought gifts. He brought silver. And ironic about silver is known as white money. In some areas, it's called white money. It's white. Silver is supposed to be like white, close to the white light. Even in chromology, silver is green, but silver is next to the white light. And so, what happened was he came to the prophet Elisha. Elisha didn't come outside. He didn't want to be near him because the man had leprosy. So Elisha called the shot from inside the house without even seeing the man. He told the man the instruction. He said, go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. So they passed the word on, and it got to him, and he said, well, that's what he wants me to do. And he thought he was going to come out here and wave his hand, call on his God, and touch my wound and say I'm healed. I didn't know he was going to tell me to go dip myself in this water. He said, and this water is dirty. There's two other rivers that's way clear. Why couldn't I go do that? And he didn't want to do it. The story goes on, and he was convinced by the slave girl to go ahead and dip. Even though she was captured, this, while, you know, the story breaks it down, she still convinced him to dip himself in the water. Or his other servant, they said the servant. So his servants convinced him. He dips, he comes out, he's clean. He sends the gifts through Gehazi to Elisha. But Elisha, knowing that he can't accept payment for his gift because it's a gift from God, he don't feel comfortable taking the payment. So he tells Gehazi, I refuse the payment. He said, but this man brought you clothes. He brought garments. He brought silver. He told him, I don't want the payment. So Gehazi goes to the commander, and he tells him, yeah, I'll take it. Elisha, he'll take whatever you have for him. So the commander hands over the garments, and Elisha tucked them. Gehazi tucked them. He put them away. He comes back to Elisha like nothing even happened. And Elisha tells him, he says, didn't my heart go with you? And so he's saying, my spirit. He's like, even though I was sitting here praying, you know, you over there making moves, I saw you. My heart, my spirit saw you exchanging money and garments. And he told Gehazi, he said, you know, is this a time for us to be having money, having, you know, men servants, maid servants, having this slave master mentality of wanting what we haven't earned? Is this a time for that? He said, well, being that, you know, you making these moves on the side and you lying, you come back to me lying, telling me you haven't done this. He said, you'll receive the curse of Naaman. The curse that we freed him of, now you have. He said, and you and your descendants will forever be as white as snow. Now, you know, and Christian Bibles taught in the sense of literalism, literally. And, you know, they say every word of God is inspired by God. Well, that's what it says. It says forever. So are the Albions Godsites? Because, you know, this mentality of wanting things, having things, it said oxen and, you know, other animals, but this could be, you know, our materialism that we don't need right now, especially if we haven't earned it. And that's what he was telling them. And so I went back and looked over it again and read a little deeper into it, and I saw the common sense in why Elisha told him, I don't want nothing from that man, because the man had leprosy. And he touched those garments. And then it brought my mind back to when, you know, when they brought the blankets to the Indians and you know, they spread disease through their garments. And he told,
now,
Elisha told God, he said, you know, being that you a Hebrew, all our people suffering from this war that we just lost. We just got whooped by them. And here you is taking gifts from them and you know, that slave mentality right there. So go ahead, you were about to say.
Now, would this leprosy of the Bible be almost considered like the same as of today?
Well, some writers say no, that it's different, but the mindset is the same. The mindset is the same, you know. What Gehazi was going through, or what he was trying to do, was underhanded, you know, especially when he was supposed to be, in, you know, walking a spiritual life. He was supposed to be, you know, getting in tune with what Elisha was teaching. And then he lied to Elisha and said, no, I didn't do that. I didn't do it. But I believe it's, you know, in metaphysics, and yeah, it is the same. It is the same. I believe it is, you know.
Now, one would call leprosy the curse of the so-called white man. Now, now we would say, such as from a conscious mind, one would say so-called white man instead of just saying white man. So yeah, let's help define that with the listeners. Now I know we're saying so-called white man instead of just saying
right.
The white man. So why
right.
Would now,
well,
help clear that up.
Okay. We live in a caste system of black and white, to where they've drawn the line and said, this is black, this is white, you know, but we know what the definitions say. So then, you know, it's the fourth tongue. You know, they saying this, but they meaning this. We know what it means to us and how we look at it, you know, from Olorun, Ele Odumare, to Obatala, to the white light, or to the sun in the white light. So we kiss by the sun, so we know we the white light. So we would be white. But when it comes, you know, and even the definition of the original people of the North Africa, the original people of Europe, we understand that would be our people. But in this caste system here that they've conquered, you know, they've blocked us from that so-called benefit, you know, and they've made their people white. Even on the census now, the last 20 years, the census for Ethiopia was white. Not 2020 census, Ethiopia is now black. So they have the power of the pen to write it in whenever they want. You know, Axum was a thriving dynasty over 1,000 years, and it was divided. It wasn't colonized. It was divided, though, because the Ethiopians, or so-called Ethiopians, divided with the Eritrean. That's just like the Tutsi and the Bantu, or this and that, or the Caribre and the Taino, or here now in America, black and white, or even in black, is divided, light skin, dark skin. So that mentality is a cursed mentality. So the you know, the mindset of wanting without earning, covetousness, materialism, wanting what you don't need, that's white. That's white mentality, slavery mentality, leprosy. I mean, let's look at Michael Jackson. What did he have? What was that disease he had? Could it have been leprosy?
I can't even call it. I really don't.
What did he want out of life? What did life give him? And through fame and money and millions and property and dancing in front of the queen, what did he get at the end of the day for all that he searched out for?
Death.
He turned white.
Mm-hmm.
And then the definition of black is what? To turn white.
Pale. Well,
you know, we just talked.
Yes.
You know, so-called white, but that's what you get when you're dealing with an English acidic language. You get double forked tongue. So we have to be careful what we call ourselves, because we could be meaning this, but then the etymology behind it is all of this. You know, so what is our name? You know, who are we?
Now, I know before a couple of days ago we spoke about today's event, which I did many years ago in 1400 with Mamet. And we talked about the taking the head of Satan and things of that. And in this time period marks that recorded event that occurred. And tomorrow also marks an event where the moon cycle, the moon will be in a phase of, what is it, a blood moon?
Well, this is the anniversary for the blood moon, but the next blood moon is actually August 19th. But May 29th is the day.
And expound on that a little bit, the blood moon and its energy and connection to the Mamet.
Okay, the Ottoman Empire was but up to Mehmet, he was, I believe, the 24th dynasty. All the dynasties prior that's recorded in history, they were astrologers. They governed their whole dynasties in life by astrology. Not only them, but Constantine and the Romans did too. Constantine and his mother's name was written 1,000 years before he got there. So while he was there in power, he knew that was it. They was all aware of what the prophecies were saying at the time. They was just acting it out as it went along. And so when Mehmet was born, his family knew based on his chart who he was and what he was going to do. And his father stepped down when his son was only 13. He handed him the keys to the empire when he was 13. But that was all a part of his lesson in the prophecy. They moved him back, and then they put him back again when he was 19. And he moved on to Constantinople at age 19 and 20. And the dates for that, the whole thing was based, it was May 29th, was his conquering day, May 29th, which is the anniversary for tomorrow. But the astrology that put him there, he called it heaven. And when he entered into the realm of heaven, it was May 29th. And what is happening now is it's so many things that's happening. The basic part, I guess, not basic, but what's going to happen and what's happening is the sun is giving off energy that we've never experienced before. It's a higher level of what we already have. May 29, 1453 was a level of heaven that Mehmet experienced based on the astrology that they was following. Every war they had, every war prior, he studied based on the astrology, all the mistakes that was made. And when he made his moves, again, astrology, and he recognized what was happening in the cosmos. May 28, 1453, the blood moon hit, and it hadn't been there since he was 13. So that's what he was guided by. And that's when he made his move, and he conquered. He took Satan's head, and he entered into heaven's realm. And so what's happening right now, what I truly believe with this COVID-19 coronavirus and all of that, is basically they just know the time based on astrology of what's going to happen, and they trying their best to prevent it, because it's not, one savior, it's many. It's not one coup, it's many coups. It's not our savior has arrived, it's our savior's plural. And who's ever willing to go through the self-initiation ritual of standing in the sun, like Jacob did in Genesis 32:30, he said, in this place I call Peniel, because this is where I saw God face to face. Tomorrow is Peniel day. Tomorrow is pineal gland, pituitary gland, Quetzalcoatl Day, Bird Serpent. Tomorrow is the day that the wings are given from the sun's rays, the heaven's rays, the power of the sun. Malachi 4:1-5-6 speaks of it. That's tomorrow. Based on astrology and based on what's happened in the past and what Noble Drew Ali calls synchronicity, it's happening right now. And tomorrow is from, well, I would estimate 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. be in the sun. You want to be looking directly at it. If you get out there late, you're going to be blinking a lot, but that's okay. The scripture says you'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And tomorrow is that day. It's that day.
Now, should one be in the grass grounding for this event, for this phenomenal event, this astronomical event? Because a lot of astronomical events occur that people are really not in tune with or awakened to, and they receive the residue of its effect. And then they sometimes just out of body experience, like you feel like you're going a little crazy, like as you may have smoked one too many, you know,
yeah.
Cannabis.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have that little crazy feeling.
Yeah.
And so should one be in the grass grounding, or is it okay if one stand on concrete?
Yeah, barefoot in the grass on some real soil would be perfect. You know, if you can get to some beach water and sand, that's perfect. Earth, wind, fire, and water. That would be the perfect element ritual to receive. It's the baptism of fire. It's when the corona rays is really going to be active. Yeah, it's going to be really coming down.
I've already started mine tonight. I've lit my altar and started the process. I like to be a little ahead of schedule. So, because I believe in the energies that our ancestors, that we need to call upon those energies to really connect to and be our guide. Now, we talk about the I am, and that's what the I am is, that connection to that divinity. And these times these times are kind of giving way to where one has to go have that internal fire baptism. Now, you talk about the leprosy and going to the river and the water was dirty. Now, that is that reality, manifesting in reality, is what one would call internal baptism. It's like a display. It's an external display of what should really happen internally. It's through the fire. And fire is the raising of the firing up of that oil, the cross oil that in the base at your seat, that is sitting at the seat, which is at the base of your spine, and it rises up. So that's the and as it rises up, it pushes out the indoctrinated mess that's within, and it impour the genetic truth comes pouring within, and it raises up to your highest crown chakra. So that's what the I am principle, what people would really need it's the internal baptism by fire and not continue to want to have the water baptism by river.
That's right.
So get into the I am principle. Now, what would the instruction for the I am be for our people today?
It would be to follow Jesus into that sun as he prayed, got up before the sun came out, and waited on it to come up. He said he was the bright morning star. The morning star is the star of Venus. So at night, the first star they say is Venus. And in the morning, before the sun come up, you see Venus. So that's really what you're trying to catch. You're trying to catch the love of Venus. And when you catch Venus, you're going to be on time for the sun. That's how I look at it. Nobody taught me that, but that's how I look at it. So when you catch Venus, bam, you know the sun is coming, and when it come up, it's like you said, you watching it come up is exactly how it's coming up inside of you. The sun inside of you, inside your kundalini, is rising as that sun is rising. And so, yeah, you could be laying down, you could be nude, You could be sitting down waiting on it, but as soon as it hits you, yeah, you're gonna feel the power of them wings. You're gonna stand straight up 90 degrees. Like, you know, the teachings say that next thine eye be single. So that single eye, you know, your eyes cross the sun, move. You focus in. You got to look in it. You know, I know elementary school, they taught us don't look in the sun. I remember them classes. Don't look in the sun, you go blind. That's what the teachers taught me. And
same here.
I want to go blind. I want to go blind so I can see. So tomorrow, we need to go blind, y'all. We need to go out here and get some of this sun. And every day, not just tomorrow, but we are natural people. We need to be in that sun more than we have been. We've integrated with a 9-to-5 Caucasian devil that's in a building that's recreated like a mountain. These skyscraper buildings is mountains. They air conditioned, but they hide them away from the sun. And we've become their sun inside these buildings, and they draining us of all of our sun energy. So we got to separate from these vampires and get back outside into our sun and get back in connection with ourselves. And you know, that's the power. That's the power move. We talked about the head doctor of health. I can't remember what her title is, but she's over the whole United States, the lead doctor of health or something, but she looks half dead.
is that the one? Is that the one in Khalifa territories?
I guess you could. She's the for the whole United States of America. One of, in Trump's cabinet, the head position for health, the health department. She looked like Beetlejuice. She looks half dead.
Oh yeah, I saw those pictures. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know, this is the condition of the majority of the population is dead. This is the dead.
And that's funny
dead.
You say that because you're saying things, and as you said them, my mind is twisting astrology. You said, let's clear that up because we do not. We are speaking to the nationals, and we are speaking to the nationals in a alkaline fluid way so we're going to pop that pineal gland. Because our listeners, if you have been following along, you already received that red pill, so you are not asleep. So when he say follow Jesus, he's to meet the sun. He's not talking about white Jesus, y'all. He's not talking about white Jesus. He's talking about the sun. So check mark. Check that off.
Yeah,
check that off. When he said the woman that looked like Beetlejuice, funny he said that because it brought in my mind when we say Beetlejuice, it's the same name that's given to Valentine's Day, but it's the star in Orion Belt called Beetlejuice.
Right.
So, but Beetlejuice. It's red,
yeah,
which
it's
is clear. It's a flick of red. So.
Right. Yeah, it's connected to Amos 5:8. Seek ye the seven stars of Orion, the Lord is his name. Beetlejuice is one of the stars. Washington Chief had made the post when I saw it. And, Beetlejuice is everyone listening to all the nationals, they should do some study behind Beetlejuice. I don't have the science right now to go into that, but definitely that is a part of what's happening tomorrow. It's big. We being crowned. We getting our crown tomorrow. Yeah, we already got our crown. It already happened, but the ceremony, the ritual is now. It's happening right now. And the Bible speaks of it as boldly to the throne, and you'll receive your crown. Then you'll be changed into a celestial being. That's what's happening.
Now, a lot of nationals, Kawaza, has thrown away the Bible. They say, oh, the Bible is fake. The Bible is the Bible, Quran, the Wasi, all that. They're fake. They're made-up stories. They're never happened before. But you have an embracement and an understanding of it that a lot of people would like to get to that place to see that it's the astronomy, it's the movement in the direction of the planetary system that's outwardly as well as thin. But however, one has to mentally separate themselves from the doctrines of man that has placed their over the wording appear as a sky daddy telling you what to do, you know. So how is it you got? I know you went through. You talked about the various schools of thought you have been in, erudite. I'm gonna say erudite that as well. Erudite, scholarly knowledge in, and you know, you say Christianity, more science, Nativism, things of itself. So everything comes from one root. Understand where your philosophy of the event. Of the Biblio Helios text come from?
From a combination of all of the texts, the Metanetter, years of listening to Wasatch Chief, Dr. Asaru Alim El Bay, years of listening to Brother Phil Valentine, Ashwa Kwesi, going over and over it. Before that, I had the opportunity to read the whole Bible twice while in jail. Once the King James Version and then once the New English Translation, and then just reading it at home. But I also had, while in jail, I had the opportunity to fast through Ramadan and read the whole Quran two separate times while in jail, and then, you know, in and out of it while at home. I mean, if you really want an understanding of something, you have to take it in whole. And, you know, you, like Donald Elijah Muhammad says, you got to flip everything upside down, turn it around. You have to investigate it. You got to take chances with it that you wouldn't normally take when it comes to, you know, the Bible says something like, lean not on thy own understanding. But whose understanding I'm going to lean on then? If I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, you know, you got some brother say, well, he's self-appointed, self-titled. It's I, self, law, and master. If I don't say it first, who gonna know? So, you know, we have to, you know, study the soul thyself approved. And in order to do that, you got to put in some time, you know, because just listening to me ain't gonna be or any preacher. That's why Jesus said there's no intercession between man and God. You go to God, you know, if. We got to go to God. You know, we got to go back to what they took from us. Because what they, you know, the Bible, it's just different levels of information. Grandmaster Brother C. Freeman L. Go to YouTube and listen to C. Freeman L. He gives up a lot of information about Psalms. And I know my great-grandmother used Psalms differently than the church uses Psalms today. You know, it spells in there. It's like, It's just deeper than what we think it is, you know. And the Prophet Noble Drew Ali said, don't throw that Bible away. So I would listen to him and not throw it away, you know, and use it. You got to, without using all of the pieces of the pie, like I am Exodus 3:14, that right there says pie, 3:14, a piece of the pie. It's, you know, so each. All of these texts came from us, but they've been spread around all over the world. And then, you know, how man touches the word, he can manipulate it. But see, the sky is God's paper, and the stars is God's ink. That's how I look at it. When God wrote it down, he put it on his paper, the sky, and then stars is his ink. And that's what the astrologers and the Bible writers was writing from. That's the message from the angel that brought down was the actual star, the alignment, and the conversation that's had in heaven. And being that they didn't want us to have that, that's when they started flipping the wording and saying, don't look to the stars for answer. That's an abomination unto the Lord. You know, a few things like that, and then focus on turning the other cheek. And if you take your shirt, give them your shirt, your hat, and your jacket too, and all of that, you know. A slave won't be mad at his master. If the master beats you down, you know, just go on and take it. You know, those stuff like that. But for the most part,
it seems like our people are being obedient to certain things. They are being obedient to the commandments of a servitude position. However, they have lost the power. They have lost the salt in which you derive from. Mm-hmm. We are the salt of the earth. And that's how you lose your power when you lose your salt.
Talk on that. Let's get back to the salt. That's one of the things that I can talk on that I've been commanded to do. for today is salt, Himalayan pink salt. It's so powerful. We got to investigate. It's 84 trace minerals in it. One is copper, one is gold. I don't know all of them by heart, but I know that the Holy Roman Empire used it as currency. At the end of the day, when the Roman soldiers got paid, they got paid in salt. When Gandhi was killed, salt was a major factor in Gandhi's assassination because the British had outlawed them going to the water to get the salt, and they was going down there to get the salt anyway because Gandhi said go down there and get the salt. You know, I'm not a Gandhiite or anything like that. I don't agree with everything of his philosophy. You know, I know it was manipulated in the minds of Martin Luther King, and then they used Martin Luther King to manipulate the minds of our people to take these ass whippings across the world. You know, based on astrology, once again, even courtroom dates, our people is sentenced on certain dates on purpose, you know.
Exactly.
They do your natal chart when you come in. That's why they ask you all the information about you, your name, your birthday, social, where you live, all of that. They using that, you know. So
it's a scoring. It's a scoring process. They have a calculation for the level of education for your parents, your mother, and then for yourself. And then all that becomes a score. And that score becomes a number. They change it to a singular number, which is a life path number. So whatever that life path number fall on, they make the determination of how they're going to derive the sentencing. They don't tell people that, but that's what it is. It's sorcery being played. And our people are so far removed from I am. They have forgot what they need to evoke that. Number one, you in the wrong jurisdiction. Number one, in order to be charged for a crime, there'll be someone dead or injured, intentionally injured. So it's not that you're going to hell, which is the debtor's prison. So, you know, it's so much. And what's the sad part about it is that the more that you are scream to the mountain, and it's like when you say, I've been to the mountain, that means the pineal gland has opened and I have seen what I need to see, and I'm trying to tell my people, let her go. Get out of her. Get out of her jurisdiction. Go back to your foremothers and forefathers. But our people are so stiff-necked, they're going to be like the one that was leaving, and when she turned back, she turned into a what? A pillar of salt.
A pillar of salt.
So salt
is crystal, and crystal is crystallized. It's Christ. Salt and Christ is one and the same. So for us to be I am, to be Christ-like, we have to have a diet of that Himalayan pink salt. It was recommended to me to drink 2 liters of water, no, 1 liter of water with 2 tablespoons of salt. And what's so ironic about it is it doesn't give you a salty taste. Like, it changes the flavor of the water, but it's not salty like you would think. Like, you'd be like, oh, my, I can't drink this. It's not like that. And what it does is it goes into your body and it removes all toxins. Any meat that's decaying on your intestines that could cause cancer, it's removing it. It's like it's an eternal flush. It's a it naturally lowers the blood pressure. Because what happens is, I believe it's 20 years you have, I think it's called collagen on the intestines that actually helps you digest meat. So we're not naturally meat digesters. So after 20 years, what happens is the intestines itself, the lining of the intestines wraps around the meat, and then you get to digest it. But after 20 years of eating meat, you have no more of that collagen on the inside of your intestine to wrap around the meat. So now your intestine just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that meat is still in there. And that's what causes problems, obesity, cancer, and whatnot. And the only way to get it out is with salt, because the salt water acts like a plunger. It's not like water and oil. It separates. Water and salt is one solid mass. So when it goes through your intestines, it goes through solid, and it takes it all out. And so for me, I did a 43-day fast, and then after that, I couldn't come off the salt. It made no sense to me to stop doing it. So I'm still on the salt all this year, 2 months of 2019, November, December, and all of this year, salt every day. I get a 10-pound bag for $1 at the Dollar Tree.
And it's a pink Himalayan salt, correct?
Yeah, pink Himalayan salt 84. And for years, I was using real salt, sea salt. But that's only 50 trace minerals. And I didn't know. But I posted it and got reeducated. You know, we got to share what we're doing sometimes, even, you know, and learn from each other. Because I didn't know for years. I thought real salt, sea salt was the one until brother showed me. And he gave me 84. Then when I posted the 84, another brother came out of Africa showing me another salt, a purple salt that has 92 trace minerals. So, you know, we trying to get healthy, wealthy out here. It's time to be Christ-like, crystallized, and go into that pineal gland, that pituitary gland, get that activation, that energy, that wavelength that's on the Pharaoh's crown. You know, that's what time it is. It's time for us to, and I know for a lot of people it might sound foreign or strange, but it's time for that. My father, you understand, I can't drink salt. My doctor told me, don't. This is not table salt. This is not the salt that gives you high blood pressure that's killing our people all these years. It's not that salt. This the salt that they've been hiding from us. This the salt that the Jews, kosher places, be having. You know, all our secrets, they holding on to them and using them, like maple syrup. You got to get back to that. Leave that white granulated pure cane CNH sugar alone and you know, go to maple syrup or blackstrap molasses.
Blackstrap, yes. Yes, because I didn't realize that blackstrap molasses is very high in iron. So when my iron level, I had cut my finger and my blood level had dropped. I didn't know I was already anemic. And I started getting heart palpitations from it. So I called a herbalist, David Levi Bay. I called him in the emergency room, sure did. And I was like, look, I'm having this symptom, that symptom. He said, oh, I know what you need. You need to go get some blackstrap molasses, get some beet, some black cherry, and start taking your blackstrap every day. And with your beet, what did he say? I had to juice some beet, black cherry, and pineapple juice. And just drink that constantly. And when I tell you, I went back to the doctor about a week later, and he was like, well, how's the medicine working for you? I said, what medicine? And he was like, then you know how they go look. He looked on the screen. You didn't get your prescription filled. I said, oh, no, not that medicine. I said, nature's medicine. I don't do that. And he's like, oh, wow, your numbers are like doubled. So basically, if you measure it, you measure your blood content, they measure the blood content like a tank of gas. Mine was like in the red, like you know how people drive when they get to the red and the light comes on. My blood level was in the red. So it literally had almost went up a half a tank just in almost 2 weeks. I was like, oh, wow, this makes it. So that's what I've been on ever since. Heart power. It's like giving yourself a blood transfusion. So anytime, you, as a woman, when your feet get cold, your hands clammy, go tablespoon of blackstrap molasses, juice you some beets, black cherry, and pineapple juice. Trust me, that clamminess go away. Stop racing. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
we
spoke about my name and what I would like to do. Because I want to clear that up. Because we talked about what name, a name be a curse. Now, because this is a conversation that Brother Abdullah and I had on, I want to say Tuesday. It was Monday or Tuesday. We had the conversation about the name. So let me bring Brother Abdullah on because I want like him to just because I thought that was some really good information. Brother Abdullah El Tumozi Bay, would you like to clear up about the origins of the name? Because a lot of times, as nobles and Moors, one would say, we don't have a name, or that's a white man's name, or, you know, that's a slave, and that's a nomnigger, a slave name. Could you clear that up for us?
Yes. The let's first make 3 points here. Let's first clear up the slave name. The word slave is Slavic. Slave doesn't mean somebody put in servitude. It's Slavic. It's the Eastern European nationality. The Baltic states, Czechoslovakian, Hungarian. So now we sell white man name. White deals means sovereignty. You have the upper crown of the white crown of Upper Egypt, which is called the Hejet. And that's the sovereign white crown of Upper Egypt. So white is a reference to sovereign power. So that's that. Now we talk about names, and the names that our people transact as English names, French names. Now, let's look at that. The point we were talking about on Tuesday is that there's no names of English, French, Dutch, German, Gaelic, Danish, Swedish origin. Those forms, but are not an origin. So we can't use the word origin when you say, when you use English, Dutch, French, Danish, Swedish. What they've done was the linguists have transliterated names from their ancient forms. For example, George. George is a Phoenician title. British, that's a Phoenician title. So these names have an ancient origin. So this is the this I was talking about in reference to the names that I retransact the business in. So you have what we call English names or French names. But then your question is that the origin, though? Is that the original origin? Is that the original origin of the word? Let's trace it to its root. So I want to be clear that the names that our people have are actually our names if you take them back to their origin. And this is that's the point that I was making there, because oftentimes we'll dismiss things out of hand for lack of study, you know, and we'll say that is the European name, and not knowing that. We haven't studied transliterations, reconstructions, how aphoresis, epenthesis, syncope, these are sound shifts where letters added to the beginning of the word. And for example, the name Indian. They said, well, we're not Indians. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Indian. Europeans call it Indians. No, that. Let's go back to the origin. Sindhu. The name Indian, the form, that's a modern English form. But let's go back to the Sanskrit, Sindhu. So what happens is, this is an example, where the S is removed. That is called an aphoresis. So when the initial letter of a word is removed, called aphoresis. So when the noun you move, so now the word was Arabicized from Sindhu to Hindu. When the British took over that area, Sindhu, that they Anglicized it to India.
Now so, I know you have a class coming up soon, a 9-week class that will etymology class. You want to give some quick information about that, because we got our last 6 minutes, and then Brother Kawaza can close out.
Absolutely. Yeah, the etymology class, it's a 9-week course that's it's going to be on Saturdays from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's June 20th to July. August 20th.
August the 15th, June the 20th to August the 15th.
Yes.
And you can go to Abdullah's page. I'm going to have to speed it up because I want Kawaza to close out. You can go to Abdullah's Bay page or either United West Publica page to see the flyer and how you can sign up for the class. Now, Brother Kawaza, do you have any last words for us before we close out on the I Am principle? We have last 5 minutes. You give our listeners some information you would like for them to know?
That was very powerful what Brother just shared, and I am definitely the first student in class. I need that class. I did a background check on my name, on my family's last name, De La Vega. It was chopped up several times from De La Vega to Vega, but before Vega, it was Al Nasir Al Waqi. Before that, it was Nasser. Before Nasser, it was Asher. And then from Asher, I mean, it takes you all over the world. So that class is a very important class, and I would encourage everybody to take that class. Very important.
So the curse of Naaman, what would you say about that? The last words about the curse of Naaman.
The curse of Naaman was, Naaman thought he was victorious, and he thought God had blessed him in war. So everybody that wins in war feel like God blessed them. So, you know, the real curse was Gehazi's mentality, his mindset. So basically, that's the curse. You know, we got to come out of that materialism. You know, anything you can buy with cash money, you probably don't need.
Absolutely. I do want to thank you again. I want to thank you again for coming back to State of the Nationals and sharing your wisdom of the I Am principles, understanding the curse of Naaman, revealing the number 19, and all the other jewels that you provided to the listeners, and helping to understand, unfold the mysteries to the universe as we all continue to raise our Christ consciousness to our crown, to receive our crown. Please continue. Join us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Radio, United Republica of Morocco. Now, if you would like to be a guest on State of the Nationals, you can email me at UnitedRepublicaOfMorocco@protonmail.com. Now, before we go out, I have this ending, and it's called Come Together. So, more nationals, let's come together. Good evening.